Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I record this on Friday the 26th, very late, I just got out of bed, whatever, I have tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night, and Monday night. That's 4 more shows, only 4 more hours here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. If you know anybody here, do tell them to come along, and I'd love to see them there. And then after that, I'm going to go to sleep for September, but you can check out, if you go on to desbishop.net, there are tour dates for Des Bishop, the final few dates of his tour, Me and Mama. Des is going on tour. It is an absolutely fantastic, wonderful show, and you can catch me there opening up the shows. There'll be shows in Cork. Oh, sorry, got hiccups. Galway, Drogheda, mental. Drogheda, that venue, whoa, it's my favourite. Anyway, you can check out desbishop.net. I'll put the links in the description to this podcast. And there's a Stephen Mullen tour coming in Ireland soon, don't you worry, but all will be revealed in time to come. Oh, yeah, Emma Doran, if you Google Emma Doran, is doing her show in Liberty Hall. The first one was on November 4th. The first one has sold out, so another one is going on sale for that as well, and I'm going to be opening that show as well. So if you're fans of Emma Doran as well, check out Emma Doran. More tickets will be going on sale for Liberty Hall because the first one sold out. And that is it for this moment in time. There'll be loads of club dates coming up over the next while. I will give you a shout about them when I come back to the future. Whatever that means. This is going to be fun. Let's do this.
Keep a change, you filthy animals.
Yeah. Welcome back. Lovely to be back, ladies and gentlemen. It feels like a long time since I've recorded the podcast because last week's episode, which was hugely popular, was recorded a long time before I actually released it. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on the mic, well, on the podcasting mic. Now, I was informed this morning that the place that I'm staying is actually quite close to some beautiful nature, a mountain and a beautiful walk in the woods and all that. Literally 10 minutes walk. I had no idea. And I was only saying to my housemates last night as we went out for dinner that I was, they were asking, what are you going to do when you get back to Ireland? And I was like, I just think I'm going to climb a mountain. I think I just need to be in nature. I think I need to be away from all the madness because, you know, being at this festival is like being, do you know when you go to a music festival like Glastonbury or something like that, or Electric, not even, I'm thinking about the mad ones, not just Electric Picnic, because I think that's supposed to be quite sophisticated. I haven't been, but I don't know. But it's like being at a music festival every day, all of the time, for a whole month. Without the performing, it's exhausting, you know? It's great, it's brilliant, and it's very special, but it is exhausting as well. So I was like, I really think I need to get into some nature. And they were like, you know, you're about 10 minutes walk from a fucking mountain, you twat. I had no idea. I literally have to go out the front gate, take a right and walk straight for, they reckoned about 11 minutes and I'll be in this wooded area. And I'm like, wow. So I'm going to do that this morning. But I was going to bring the podcast gear with me to do it this morning. But then I've already left it late enough. So I said, look, I'll get this done here. Bish, bash, bosh, get it up for you guys, because I apologize. By the time you get it, it's going to be a little bit late. But hey, what are you going to do? I hope you're well. I got lots and lots and lots of messages from people from about last week's podcast. Some were even commenting on the anti-English vibe that was going on, which is xenophobic in its own right a little bit. But yes, that was what happens when the blood gets boiled. And it was because of that young man's privilege. What an idiot. And I forgot to say afterwards, I only put it up on social media afterwards, but after that whole pitch and putt incident, if you haven't listened to that episode, then you're going to have to go back and listen to it. After that whole pitch and putt episode, Dez looked up the rules and they were completely in the wrong. They're not allowed to be lying on the pitch and putt course. Yes, it's a public park, but the idea is that it's public where, you know, it's not really maintained to that much of a high level, the pitch and putt course, and anybody can play. That's the idea of it being public. You don't have to pay. There's no greenhouse fees. You just go and you play and you have your laugh. You're not supposed to sit in the middle of it, you assholes. Anyway, let's not go back down that road again, okay? Because I know that podcast got lots of you angry as well. Loads of you. Loads of you are there listening to it going, that was fucking English. I don't know, you weren't in an English accent. But anyway, yeah, loads of people text me getting wound up about it. I wanted to punch that fella in the face. It's like, this is supposed to be an entertainment podcast, keep you entertained. Jesus Christ, I would have killed him. I would have shoved them pigeon putt clubs where the sun don't shine, let me tell you. So it was, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And it was great, yeah, it was great to hang out with Dez. I'm honestly, so Dez was here for the first 2 weeks. He was doing his show here for the first 2 weeks of Edinburgh. And it has no been the same since Dez has left. I'm not going to lie to you. Because we had a good routine going. We did our pitch and putt. We had breakfast in the mornings. His apartment was near to my venue. So it was a perfect hangout halfway spot between my shows and all that kind of stuff. So when Dez left, it just wasn't the same. Although he's delighted to be back in the US, let's be honest with you. He lives in the Hamptons. He's like, bro, why would I ever have to leave this place, you know? So he's right. He's right. He's absolutely bloody right. So what has been going on here since then? Well, I've been keeping you up to date enough at the Edinburgh Fringe, what's been going on at the Edinburgh Fringe. But as I said to you, it's a very weird space where you feel like the days are flying. Like, you get up and before you know it, you have to be doing a show. Like, I'm recording this at 10:15 in the morning now. I haven't got, my show doesn't start technically till 5 p.m., but my hour show, but it kind of feels like the time between now and 5 just goes, like, so quick. I kind of have to leave here from where I'm staying around 2 o'clock anyway, and I start flying around 3. I put a good solid hour and a bit in, and then by the time it hits 4, I just have to start going and getting ready. 4:15, I got to be in the dressing room, start getting the gear on. And I've never had to do this before for a show, but this is to show you how tired I am. I've never felt a necessity to have to gear myself up to perform. Not in stand-up, anyway. I've never had a need to get my energy up, and maybe I should. Maybe this is another lesson that I've learned, that I shouldn't be too casual walking on stage. Sometimes the casual thing really works in comedy clubs anyway, but comedy clubs are a completely different animal. You know, I only got to do 20 minutes, half an hour max. That's nothing in the context of this. And there's an MC warming up the room, and there's somebody, you know, getting the crowd going and all this kind of stuff. But with this stuff, you are the show. You've to put on the show from the start. There is nobody cheering you on stage. I've stopped introducing myself from side stage. I think I might have told you guys this already. Usually you might be side stage going, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Stephen Mullen, or whatever, to get the crowd going. But I stopped doing that because I just, like, I can't bear doing that anymore when there's a tepid applause out there. And, like, being honest, lots of times you might fill the room full of people who have no idea who you are. So they just bought a ticket to something that was in the vicinity, and they come along and they're like, they're not that excited to see me at all. So I stopped doing the side stage introduction thing, and I just walk on to the music and I just try to figure out from there. If they clap, they clap. If they don't clap, I'll figure it out. And that has been my attitude. And it makes me a much better comedian. Because you can be taking a room from absolutely nothing at some points. So I've enjoyed that challenge of it. But what I have found is before the shows now, I'm really having to, I don't want to use the word psych myself up, but I suppose that is what it is. I have a full routine now where 4:15... I get into the dressing room, and in my normal clothes, I'll do some stretching because my back is actually quite stiff and my legs will be quite stiff from the fly ring, because it's quite a bit of standing around or just trying to get people into the show. So my back will be stiff at that point, and my legs or whatever. So I do a bit of stretching, and then I get into my clothes. As some of you have seen, a lot of lilac going on this year for whatever reason. Whatever, I don't know why. I get into the clothes, and then around 4:30, so the show's at 20, the show starts at 5 to 5. So at 4:30, I put on my AirPods, my fucking second pair that I had to buy because I lost the first ones. Did I tell you about that? I'm sure I did. Nightmare. AirPods, house keys, and sunglasses all lost in the first week at Edinburgh Fringe. Touch wood. I'm touching wood now. There will be nothing else lost. So around 4:30, I put in the AirPods. I'm in my clothes. I'm in my performance clothes. And I have a playlist. And that playlist is specifically geared to get my blood up. Because my blood has to be up. I have to be the energy. I have to bring the energy in these performances. I can't be counting on them. There will be audiences that will be dead at moments in the show or at the beginning of the show. And I have to figure out a way to bring the energy into the room so that people are feeling energy in this show. You know, that some of these people have been going to see 5 shows a day or whatever like that. So they're sitting down in front of me thinking, oh, I'll just have a bit of a nap here or I'll just relax watching this show. And I have to go, fuck that. Come on. Let's put on a show together. Let's do this. So I'm in my clothes. I put in the AirPods. I got the playlist. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, what is the kind of things I'm listening to? I don't even know if I want to give it away. Maybe it doesn't matter. It starts off with Morning Glory by Oasis. Now, it's specifically the riff at the top of that tune that makes me go, oh yeah, here we go, here we go. And it's, oh yeah, it's the helicopter at the start of that. And then it's the riff of the I didn't appreciate that song when I was a kid. That was my first album I ever got was What's the Story, Morning Glory, the Oasis album on cassette tape. And I didn't appreciate that song at the time. I was more into Champagne Supernova, which is still a great song, and other stuff like that. But now I appreciate Morning Glory for the fucking power of sound that it makes. Jesus! So then, so that one's on first. Then, this was the closing track of, and I'm a big fan of The Prodigy as well, but this was the closing track of Matt Ewan's show. Highly recommend going to see Matt Ewan's at the Edinburgh Fringe, but it's called Light Up the Sky from one of The Prodigy's latest albums. So that's on next. And then because I was in Prodigy mode, I was like, let's just put on Voodoo People. So so that's on as well. So you can imagine my blood is pumping at this stage. I'm out the back of the building then at this stage in my clothes. And I'm walking up and down. I'm pacing up and down. And there's people in a car park going, what is that guy doing? He's talking to himself. He's moving around. But they can't hear The Prodigy. And I'm just dancing away to The Prodigy myself. I have a water bottle that I do this kind of, it's hard to explain, the specific throw around the back. I flick it over the back of my shoulder and catch it at the front and flick it over and it goes in a circle. And it's just a lovely movement to get your kind of kinesthetic, to get your brain working. I like doing that as well. While all this is happening, I hold in my hands the notes of the show. It's kind of like the roughest set list that I've had. It's the last set list that I've written before I stopped writing set lists, because every day I would go through the set list for the first couple of weeks and I would write them all out, and then I just stopped writing them out because I think I know what the show is. So I have the roughest last set list and I kind of look at minutes of that and look at moments of that and go, oh, don't forget this bit here or don't forget that bit there. And I'm dancing around and dancing around. And then the last song comes on, and the last song is, so this playlist is I think 17 minutes long. The last song is the song that is the intro to the show. I am not going to tell you what that is because you're going to come and it's kind of part of the show, so I can't tell you what that is. So that closes it all very nicely and getting me into the headspace of being there for the show. And the show before me starts to come out. They have a bit of gear to get out and they say hi and I say hi. I walk into the room and I can feel the heat of the room and I go, turn up the aircon, open the doors, let the air out. My tech, Caroline, arrives and she's like, how are you, honey? She's from Fermanagh. And she's like, how are you today? Now, there's a queue out there for you now, or else there's no one out there. And we just start setting the stage lighting to my settings. They set up the mic. they do all those bits and pieces, and I start pacing around the stage, and we do a sound check, and I start talking in the microphone and farting about, and then we just double check that everybody knows what the cues are for the beginning of the show, the music, the lights, and all that kind of stuff. And then they go, "We're ready when you are, Stephen." And front of house go, "Are we ready?" And I go, "Let's do this." And I go back behind a black curtain, and I can hear people coming in as the music is playing. And at a certain point, the lights go down, and I pull back the curtain and walk on stage. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, yesterday when I was out flying, I was going through the Assembly Gardens in George Square, and there was all these mad bitches. And I don't mind saying mad bitches, because they would describe themselves as mad bitches. Big drinkers. And it was 4 o'clock in the day when I met them, and they're already hammered. They're on these picnic benches. They're Glaswegian women from Glasgow. And I reckon 50s at least. Maybe more. Could be more. And they're hammered. And they start having the crack with me, and I'm kind of going, geez, this would be great for the show, you know? My friend, the comedian Nikki Britton, was with me as well, and she starts kind of having the crack with him. Oh, he's great, he's really handsome as well. That's what all the female...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Flyers like to do to make a show of me. They fly her away and they go, go Stephen Mullen show. He's really funny and he's handsome. Look, look, look. And they point over at me and make me embarrassed. But they think it's funny because I get embarrassed. Anyway, we're there with these Glaswegian women and we kind of are chatting together. And I'm like, dude, come in. It'd be great to have you because I have somebody from a specific comedy festival that I love to play is coming into the show. So I'm like, oh, I'd love to play at this comedy festival. And I'd love if this person really loved my show. So the more people I can get in, the better. You'd think, wouldn't you? I didn't anticipate how much these women had drank. Who knows? They did come into the show. They came in late to the show. And they were doing a running commentary throughout the show. It was amazing. But you had to get the fine balance of getting them to listen to the story of the show or to the routines of the show. It was a fine balance between that and having to deal with some of the sometimes funny stuff they were saying or ridiculous stuff they were saying, but also not lose your head at them. I also had a drunk Canadian in the front row who was just constantly commentating like, and there was a Glaswegian fella as well who was, do you know what? They were all really nice. They were all really into the show. That was the thing. So I couldn't, you know, I did ironically, kind of comedically give out to them all for chatting while I was, you know, trying to deliver the show. But they're actually really into it. And that's what I loved. So I couldn't really give out to them because they were just into it. And that's, they kept going, oh, that's right. They were like, I might say something about anxiety. And they're like, yeah, that's right. Because sometimes people, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, this is a hypothetical conversation. You're not actually supposed to respond at this point. Laugh. That'd be great if you laughed at what I'm saying. It was wild. It was an hour of wildness. Sometimes I am my tech Caroline. Sometimes when I get to 50 minutes, which is close to the hour, she might flash me a light just to let me know that that's where I'm at. And usually that gives me a cue to kind of go, if you haven't finished that routine, finish that off, because you've got two routines now to finish off the whole show. So crack on with them. But I had no idea. When I got to the 50 minute mark, I was trying to keep an eye on the time. But when I got to the 50 minute mark, she flashes the torch. I haven't done half the bloody show. I was like, Jesus. So I had to drop loads of stuff and kind of finish the show a bit differently because they were commentating every little bit. But they loved it. At the end, you know, they were hugging and kissing and clapping and the whole lot. And it was madness. And it was the worst show that I could have ever had for a comedy producer to come in and watch, because you're like, you want to show that you can really do a show and put a good act together and put a good show on. But because it was the worst show, she got to see me just being myself and dealing with a mad audience and ending up having to MC a show as well and all that kind of stuff, which in the end turned out to be a good thing because they were loving the fact that the show was falling apart. That just like made it very even funnier. That's what got the bigger laughs, you know? I'm talking about like difficult experiences that I've had in my life, but I'm kind of going, not as difficult as this gig, and they're all like, hey! But they were brilliant, all those Glasgow women. They were brilliant. They were good fun. And the front row, we had a Canadian woman and a Scottish couple. And we had an English couple in the front row, God bless them, that got booed because I said I wanted to be English at one point or whatever. And it was very funny. It was very funny. So I'm actually kind of like, I suppose that the show talks about that. I learned to take the negative experiences and kind of make them into good ones and be grateful for them. And you learn things from them. And I certainly learned from that show yesterday, because the woman from the comedy festival came out afterwards and she said that was brilliant. Because she could see I wasn't delivering. It was not planned at all. It was mayhem. And, you know, they just get to see a different side of me. So if I'm going to be preaching about like embracing all the things in life that are difficult for us and, you know, making something, not you don't even have to make something beautiful out of them. We just need to stop thinking of them as mistakes and start thinking of them as lovely experiences. And it's like, well, yeah, I've just got to. I was in the moment on stage going, this is a shit show. And they're roaring, laughing at me going, this is a shit show. But me embracing the fact that this is a shit show and kind of getting on board with it, but then trying to deliver the story at the same time. It was wild, but I was, in hindsight, very grateful for it. And I am very grateful for being over here for this with this festival. I suppose this is news that I wasn't particularly thinking about telling you guys, but actually I won't. Anyway, I definitely didn't say it last week, but I'll talk about it another time. It's career stuff, and it'll come out soon. It's not a big deal, and it wasn't even a big disappointment for me, but there was an opportunity that came up that didn't happen for me. And do you know what? I'm happy that it's not happening, because it kind of freed me up a little bit. I think I was too reliant or worried. Sometimes we can think about things in terms of, oh, where's my money going to come from? Or where's, you know, my job ain't a regular job. I ain't got regular work. So it's kind of hard to be able to figure out exactly where the money's coming from all the time. But, you know, it makes you hustle as well. It's going to make me hustle. I definitely got stuck in my head a little bit this week with stuff that, or in the last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, actually, I got the news, with stuff that is not going to happen. But the older you get, the more that you realise, the quicker I can let go of this disappointment and take it for what it is and move forward with no loss of enthusiasm, the better. They say that's what makes the best sports people the greatest sports people in the world, like Lionel Messi. They say part of the reason that he is great is his ability to let go of something negative that's happened quickly. The quicker he can let these things go, like he misses a penalty or he misses a shot, the quicker he turns around and continues to play as if nothing has happened, that is success. That is what makes you successful. That's what makes the people at the top of their game really, really, really good. It's not just their talent. And maybe they have even better talents and they've got even better skills and they're, you know, they have all these crazy ways, Messi has crazy ways of scoring goals and all that. It's because every time he made a mistake when he was learning how to do these things, he just let it go. He didn't even think of it as a mistake. And that's what I'm trying to... I think I have done a good job already. I know I'm over the disappointment of that thing. But I think that's a Dez quote. I think Dez said to me that, or maybe, I can't remember, maybe Dez and I talked about it, but they say that success is the ability to move from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. And I couldn't agree more. And we've all been through that in our lives, and I think in some ways the work that I do, I feel like I'm privileged in that way because I do get to experience that on a much more regular basis than the average person does, because... There, nothing is certain in my game. The next job is never certain. The next joke going to work is never certain. The next show being a good show is never certain. You never know. Whereas beforehand, where I've been in regular jobs, you know, the highs and lows, they don't exist. And that's part of the reason why I feckin' left probably that world, is that it became too every day was just like, I could see what I was doing with every day, and there wasn't excitement. But I wasn't get turned on by everything that I was doing every day. And you know what I mean by turned on? I mean, life-wise turned on, you know? And now, there's plenty of day jobs that I absolutely love. So I'm not saying all the day jobs were shit. But what I'm saying is that the disappointments that you had to get over in those types of work, they were very, very, very few. And, you know, you might miss out on getting a new role or something like that, or... you might miss out on moving to a new company or something like that. But those things, you know, happen far less often than in my game. They happen every day. And sometimes you can get a bit worn down by them and kind of think like, oh, maybe I should go back to cutting wood for a living or whatever. Which definitely happens, by the way. I don't like the way that people sometimes in my business or the artistic business, like, I never give up. I just continue believing. I never had doubts. You're like, fuck off. That's not real. You have to have doubts. Well, you're not a robot, you know? I think all the time about... I honestly don't think about going back and making coffee again. And sometimes I kind of have a notion about going back and cutting wood again. Being a carpenter, that's what I did, for those of you who don't know. It was the first thing I did when I came out of school. I dropped out of school and I was an apprentice carpenter. But I don't think I'll be going back to that either. I think I have come to a place of accepting myself that this is what I do. I write, I perform. And anything that I do in the future, work-wise, revolves around those two things. Can you hear that? Maybe you can't. I was trying to hear it in the earphone. There you go, you should have heard it there. Something's buzzing. It sounds like a lawnmower to me. Anyway, I was getting all philosophical there. I'm here for the bloody lols, haven't I? So, I'm also, I should have said from the start of this, I haven't left my bed to do this podcast. I'm sitting in bed doing this. I've been in bed at 9 o'clock 3 times this week and in the evening, and it's been amazing. And I sleep till 9, 10 at least, like straight zonk, bonk, like exhausted. But, I haven't left the bed, and that's just the way everything has rolled at this Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Thank you very much. I'm exhausted. I have loved every bit of this, but I am exhausted. A lot of me feels that I'm not old. I'm like, I'm too old for this stuff, but it's about pacing yourself in the right way, and I am absolutely shattered and exhausted that I'm sleeping a lot. But it's for a good thing. It's for a good thing. I've really, like, this is, everyone says it and it's true. This is the gym. This is going to boot camp. This is Kevin Gildee of Father Ted and many other things said to me the other night that this is like putting 3 years of stand-up comedy into 1 month. And it advances your years. It advances your experience. It makes you a better comic. And I'm definitely a better comic off this. It's pushed me in my performance. Of all the things that I would have thought that I don't need to work on because I naturally have it better than a lot of other people, it's performance. But actually, what Edinburgh has done is make me perform a lot better. Like, I did a club thing. I did a Best of Irish at the Stand last night. And it was... I found myself performing differently. Holding the room with every word that I said. And that makes you back up every word that you say that makes you think and perform differently. And I've really enjoyed finding that over here. I've really enjoyed finding different ways of performing and not just taking it for granted that I'm not just going up there and delivering words, of really sitting into every thought, every idea that I'm selling the audience. And it's very different. I feel a lot more grounded in my performance than I ever have before. So that's good. And I've the hunger to write a new hour for next year. So that's good as well. I do feel old though. I've got aches and pains in my body all the time. But yeah, I might be getting a massage today. Actually, one of the comedians is an ex professional masseuse. I hurt my. Des is gonna go. It's your hip, bro. Get your fucking hip, bro. You gotta go check it out, bro. So yeah, something going on in that area. The hip has all hurt me. So a masseuse has checked out that my hip flexor is not activating, and blah 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 blah. Anyway, I'm whinging now. No one likes a whinger, do we? Nah. I'm gonna go make a coffee. I'm going to make toast, I'm going to put butter, peanut butter, and then jam on top of that toast. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to drink a coffee. I'm going to do that 10-11 minute walk down the road to nature. Because I felt that I wanted to be in nature for quite a while, and sure, isn't nature where we all came from? We're all just nature. And in a way, my body and my mind just feel like I just kind of want to go home to nature. I am homesick for my nature in Ireland. I'm homesick for my offspring, for my daughter, for holding her, for hugging her, tickling her, making her laugh, running around the park, arguing. She said to her mother the other day, I was on a video call, and she said, her mother said to her, will you please get ready? Why do I have to ask you twice? If I have to ask you twice, then we all get annoyed, and then it's a big problem. And we wouldn't have this problem if I just had to ask you once. And my daughter said to her mother, yeah, or you could maybe just not annoy me. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is me in my daughter. That is my daughter using things that she's heard me say against her mother. So it's all ahead of me. I'm in big, big trouble. But I love her very much. I'm going out in nature. Maybe we should all try that this week. Send me pictures on Instagram of if you get to go out in nature somewhere, wherever in the world you are. I know there's people have listened to this podcast in Syria, in Canada, in Argentina, in Australia. Send me a picture. I'd love to see it on Instagram. Send me a picture of wherever your nature is. That'd be a cool thing to share with each other. Maybe I'll post some of them on Instagram stories. Anyway, that's it. I did it. I'm going to get up now. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to wash myself. I'm going to have that toast. And I'm going to have a good day. Thank you so much. And all that's left to say, ladies and gentlemen, is peace and love.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.